So as you see the picture about the sun and the people dancing, I shared 2 weeks ago and from Malachi chapter 4. And he spoke about the sun that shall rise upon you. The sun that shall rise upon us. And you will go forth leaping with joy and with healing. And you have received healing and you'll go forth leaping like stall-fed calves. Leaping with joy. Okay, so I encouraged us a few weeks ago and I shared with you about my son, Vian, who's 2.5, when he gets excited, like he's going to get a chomp. Then he enters the party. There is this exuberance, this joy, and it manifests in a Vian skip. It's beautiful to see it. And it's just such a reminder for me of where the Bible says we need to become like children. They have the ability to, in a moment, they can enjoy any place, anytime they're having a party. Unless they get a hiding from daddy. But otherwise, it's party all the way. And I believe God has spoken to us and he wants us to learn how to have fun with life. Even when it is challenging and serious and it's major issues at work or life or wherever, God wants us to have joy in the midst of it. And it's something supernatural. Something that we receive from God despite our circumstances. And so the Lord is speaking to us and to us as a church that we must have more fun. Okay, so give me a big smile. More fun, more fun. Tell your face, smile, smile. You are able to smile. So the foundational principle of this series, the assumption that we are living by, is that an intimate daily connection with Jesus through his word and spirit will cause the rest of my life to be transformed in due time. A daily intimate connection with Jesus through his word and spirit will cause the rest of my life to be transformed in due time. That's link up. That's a connection. Do you have a set aside time every morning before you go to the work or wherever you go to? Do you have a set aside time where you connect with God? Not just read a little bit Bible and maybe go through the motions, but do you connect with God in the morning? Because there's something powerful that happens then in our hearts, in our lives. We receive the ability to have joy even when difficult circumstances meet us. This is life or death. If you don't have a morning time with God or a time in the day somewhere, some people don't like mornings, but I prefer mornings. It gets you ready for the day. If you don't have that, Christianity is going to be a battle. Because it's the connection. It's when God starts living through you. And you don't do things in your own ability anymore. You abide. John chapter 15. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then there will be fruit. Okay. So this whole series about encouraging to you to do that and how to do that. Okay, Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's what the kingdom is about. It's about righteousness, being a right standing with God, receiving peace with God and having peace in your heart and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking. But if you want to be healthy, it's a good idea to eat healthy. Also for the dietitians. Eat healthy, it's good. But it's not necessarily the kingdom of God. Then Proverbs 15:15. "For the despondent," can you say despondent? And then make your face hang. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. You expect it, so you're going to get it. But for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. I want to be part of the party. I want to be part of the feast. Because there is a feast. That first picture I showed you about the sun, God's love and goodness is still shining down upon us. And sometimes these clouds come in, clouds of heaviness, clouds of depression, and we feel miserable. Is the sun still shining? It's still shining. God is still good. If we just rise up above those clouds, we'll experience the love of God and the goodness of God. And so sometimes our emotions lie to us. We listen to the clouds, the darkness, instead of focusing on the light of God's goodness. And so we need to join the party, the continual feast, the happy heart. So what is joy? Joy is to have a party in your hearty. A party in your hearty. I just made that up. Okay, so condemnation is a party pooper. Would you agree? We don't feel like coming to God when you're like condemned and heavy and, oh, you feel you're so sinful. Okay, so condemnation is a party pooper, but there's another one that's also a party pooper. It's called worry, anxiety. Okay, so we're going to touch on that this morning. We're going to answer how can we be free so we don't have to worry and be despondent. You know, so that for the despondent, I heard this in this week, for a despondent person, it is like even when they receive a donut, they focus on the hole instead of the blessing. Okay? So that's like a negative way of looking at life, always seeing the hole. Why is there this hole? No. Okay, so I shared with the previous message 2 weeks ago, I shared, you need to get something to laugh about out loud 3 times a day. That's your medicine. And the medical guys say that it actually brings healing to your body, physical healing to your body and to your soul. Okay, so get something to laugh about. You can't have a party without laughing. And then you need to put on your party clothes. And what is that? That's the garment of praise. When you focus on God's goodness and celebrate Him, then you put on your garment of praise. And God does a miracle in your heart and sets you free. You drive the dark clouds away. Okay. So sometimes, that's what I shared last time, you need to just put on a CD and worship God. Put on a CD in your car as you're going to work or wherever and praise Him. It's very hard for me to put on a CD while I drive to work because it's just 2 meters from my bedroom to my office. So it's like, praise you, Lord. Okay, thank you. Praise you, Lord. Okay, but some of you are driving more, so put on a CD and praise Him with all of your heart. Just focus again on how faithful He is. And so we went to a classic 2 weeks ago, and I told you, God is good. All the time. God is good. The sun is always shining. God is good. He is good. Okay? And sometimes we have to tell our faces and our hearts, God is good. God is faithful. God is with us. Okay, so very shortly, just to give you a recap, the series thus far. Message number one, we spoke about peace. Your first aim in your quiet times with God is just focus on peace. Don't come with a list of stuff God needs. You just focus on getting peace through the cross. And then guidance through the Spirit. So that's the first one we spoke about. Then secondly, we spoke about coming boldly to God, how to deal with condemnation. And Sonika shared about getting a journal, write things down so you can keep track of what God is saying to you, how He's leading you. Then thirdly, we spoke about getting joy. And about praising God. And then last week, Dion shared a wonderful message about actually why link up. Beyond getting free from condemnation and fear and all the other things, why do you want to spend time with God? Because you want to know Him. That was so powerful when he shared last week. God has given us everything we need so we can know him. It's glorious. It really is. To know him, there's nothing like that on this earth. And now this morning, I want to speak to us about our thought life, our minds. Because there's this battle in our minds. When you and I come to God, and we want to spend time with God, the moment you do that, there's this battle happening. I don't know if you've experienced it, but I come and I'm sitting somewhere, I'm reading Bible, I want to pray, and then my mind just goes off the whole time. I'm like distracted. Anybody experienced that? Yeah. No. Okay, so I feel it's a major challenge for some of us, our thoughts. And it's also, in a sense, our outlook on life and the health of our minds. Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. You can open your Bibles there as well. We're going to focus on those three, four verses this morning. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, if you missed it, let me say it again. Again, I will say to you, rejoice. Rejoice. What? Find joy in God. Not in your circumstances. Find joy in God. It's like we did this morning, God, we just thank God for salvation, for what he has done for us. Find joy in him. Receive joy in him. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." And then this classic bit, good one to memorize. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Beautiful scriptures. I want to look at different aspects of that and how to deal with worry. Now, the first bit is this: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And I want to highlight this. You need to guard your mind. You need to guard your mind. The Bible speaks about guarding your heart. Now, I want to add something. I want to say you need to guard your mind. How do you do that? Two things I want to highlight, very practical. Something God has been speaking to me. The first one is hedges or boundaries, keeping the bad out. I found that we can get so busy with life, work, and all the other things that we are busy with, that it feels like our minds are overwhelmed. All these things just overflow into our minds. It's something that's been happening to me. I would be at home with my family, but I'm not there. I am, but I'm not. Because my mind is so occupied. My mind is so busy with work, life, things. And so there's not a hedge in my mind. And so what I feel God is speaking to me, and I want to encourage you, is to put down hedges. This is what Sonic and I have done this week. We put out a few hours, and we just started to analyze our lives. And we made a list of things that is overflowing into our minds and into our lives. So some of us leave work late, often. It's not a good idea, because that's probably going to consume you. You're going to be tired. Next morning, you're going to get up. You're still tired, so you skip your quiet time with God, and you just go on. You just keep on running and running and running. And in the process, you get into trouble, because your mind doesn't find peace. Your mind doesn't have hedges. So a good idea would be, say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, computer off or whatever. Try and put boundaries in your workplace. Try to put boundaries on your life, okay? So you can have a protective place in your heart and mind. You need to tell life till here and no further, okay? Otherwise, it will just overflow. That's one area. Work is the one area I think one can look at. Boundaries. Another area is worldly influence. Because we're talking about our minds. I heard once somebody said, what entertains you enters you. How's that for interesting? And it's so true, because your mind gets filled with it. I remember, say, watching Spider-Man 3. 1, 2, 3. 3. And it's amazing when you watch a movie and you really get into it, those thoughts and imaginations can sit with you. That's just an example. Say Spider-Man or whatever. Can be rugby or whatever. But these things can so consume our minds that when we actually want to spend time with God, it's like these things come in the whole time. And you need to put down a wall, a boundary, and say no. Okay. Anybody experienced that? Movies? Sport? Ladies will say shopping? Don't know. But it's just good every now and again to come back and just put down boundaries in the areas that you feel that you lack self-control. We all have different things we need to work at. But the focus is we want order in our minds. We put a guard in our minds. So when we come to God, we can focus. Okay? Work is a big one. Do you trust God? Because that's at the root of this issue. Do you trust God to make your work area or your work life successful? Business, whatever. Do you trust God to give you favor in the workplace? Do you trust God, or do you strive in your own ability, trying to make it work, trying to keep control over every facet of your life? And in the process, your mind is tired and consumed with all those things. I think that's a word for some of us here. Do you trust God? Or are you doing things in your own ability? Okay, so put down the hedges. Say, I'm going to go home around this time, and I'm going to trust God to bless the business. I'm going to trust God to raise up the people. I'm going to trust God to bless my work. So plan your boundaries. Another area. The Sabbath. What about the Sabbath? Should we keep the Sabbath? Well, the Bible in the New Testament says we need not keep it anymore on the same way and day it was in the past. The actual Sabbath is from a Friday evening till a Saturday evening. No rugby. That's why they moved it to Sundays. The principle stands. Any day of the week, put out one day where you resign from your primary vocation. You're a businessman, for that day you resign. Or a teacher, or an accountant, or an engineer, or a pastor. One day a week, you resign. In your heart, please don't send letters to anybody. Resign in your heart and say, God, I am surrendering everything else to you, and today I'm going to just trust in you, and I'm setting this day aside to honor you, to spend time with you, to really connect with you. Life is so busy that you can just go from week to week to month and never actually connect with God. That's why God put it in the Sabbath, a special day where you stop your work and your worry. And you just put out an hour or two or three with God. More than just church. When I studied engineering, and I really got the Sabbath thing down, it was great. I just said, God, I'm going to trust you with my studies, but on a Sunday, I won't work. So even in the middle of my final year exams, I would study until Saturday, 12 o'clock, quarter past 12 sometimes. And then I'll take a holiday. I'm writing on Monday. This is serious stuff. But I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to have a ball of a time. So I find peace in the midst of this frenetic activity. I have a wonderful day. The morning I'd spend with God, and the evenings I went to church. That's how it worked with us. It was great. So do you have a Sabbath? Are you honoring the Sabbath principle? That's part of guarding your mind. Okay? Guarding your mind. And so I want to encourage you, one day a week, resign from your primary vocation. Second one. So the first one is guard your mind, put down hedges. Second one, renew your mind with thanksgiving. renew your mind with thanksgiving. We spoke about thanksgiving. I just want to give you one or two scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Say always. Always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. You're having a tough time at work, boss giving you grief, give thanks. Wow, that's hard. But every aspect of your life, go and evaluate, find something to be thankful for. God, thank you, I have a job. God, thank you that I am healthy. It's amazing how it gives us perspective when you are exposed to other people's problems. For instance, we have a pastor in Helderberg or Somerset West. They've got a four-year-old son, and it seems that he's been diagnosed with cancer of some form in his kidneys. They want to take out one of his kidneys, and they want to do chemotherapy. Four-year-old. Now, if you don't have a child, you won't understand necessarily, but I tell you, it's a nightmare. Your life is falling apart right there. So then you look at your own child and you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. This is grace. You can find something to be thankful for, but you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice to rejoice, to have joy, and to be thankful. Find something to be thankful. And then I want to remind us, Matthew 6, verse 22 to 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Fascinating scripture. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. What light? Will be filled with God. You will be filled with God when you have a good eye. When you look at life through God's perspective. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Well, guaranteed. If you negative, critical, fault-finding, you get the donut, but you just see the hole, you will be filled with darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So we need to pray, God, touch my eye. Renew my mind that I can look at things and circumstances and life through your perspective. Instead of seeing a problem, see an opportunity. And it's something God needs to do in us. And the key for this is to spend time with the Lord in the morning. So this is really about our focus. For instance, bad eye, you focus on the power of evil. Is there evil in this world? There's lots. So you can choose to focus on the power of evil, and that can consume you. Or you can choose to focus on the power of God and have that lift you up. I was once at a conference, and Rick Joyner shared this. It was beautiful. He said he was reading Isaiah 6, and these angels, they were before the throne of God. They were crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. And then they said, the whole earth is full of his glory. That's what the angels said. They were praising God and saying, the whole earth is full of his glory. And then Rick Joyner said, God doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like the whole earth is full of your glory. And then God spoke to his heart and said to him, if you dwell in my presence, if you dwell in my glory, all that you will see will be my glory. Let's link up. It's connecting with God. It's getting into his presence every morning. You step into his presence. He touches your mind and your eyesight. And you look at life differently. A good eye. A good eye. And your life will be filled with light. Or another area where bad eye, we focus on the power of sin. Sin, so bad and so powerful and so terrible. And then the enemy catches us out. Yes, you have sinned. Yes, you've made a mistake. Yes, you shouldn't have. Yes, you knew better, but you did. So now are you going to allow the sin to control your life, to consume your thoughts? Or are you going to turn to the cross of Christ and cast yourself upon what Jesus did for you and say, God, I thank you that your payment price was an overpayment. It dealt with the power of sin. And so you break free from this sin. It doesn't give us the license to sin, but it helps us to break free from the guilt and the condemnation. Okay, so are you focusing on the power of sin, or are you focusing on the power of God? Are you focusing on how useless you are or feel sometimes? Or are you focusing on how much God loves you? Do you focus on, I messed up again, I'm not good enough, I should have done better, should have gone in the race, should have done that, or are you focusing on, despite all of that, God loves me. He loves me, he celebrates me, he loves you, and he celebrates you. That's a good eye. That's a good eye. And it's just something that I've been settling in my heart the last few weeks, especially when you read the book of Revelation and the end of the story, I just realized God will be glorified. Irrespective of me, my King will be glorified. And everybody will bow the knee and he will be worshipped. Because it's really about him. And so like, great. Okay, awesome. We win. It's great. Let's relax, not like lying on the beach relax, but let's rest in our hearts and know he will be glorified. Our God is awesome. And so what about temptation? How do you deal with temptation? We're still speaking about the thoughts and renewing our minds. How do you deal with temptation? Do you focus on the temptation? No, not ice cream. Don't eat ice cream. No, that's beautiful, but don't, no ice cream. No ice cream. So you tell yourself the whole day, no ice cream, no ice cream, no ice cream, no, no ice cream. What are you going to be thinking about? Ice cream. So how do you deal with that? Somebody shared this, it's beautiful. They say sometimes when they train dogs, they would have, say, a room somewhere, the dog on the one side of the room and the master on the other side of the room, and they put a plate of food in the middle. And they say, as long as the dog keeps his eyes on his master, he'll ignore the food and he'll probably run around, pass the food to his master. But if the moment the dog takes his eyes off the master and onto the food, we have trouble. Dog goes for food. And it's the same with us. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. If you keep your eye on Jesus, how much he loves you, how much he believes in you, he celebrates you. And we have a slogan in this church, I am awesome. Can you say that? I am awesome. That's how God feels about you. He proved it. He died on the cross for you because you are awesome. Must tell yourself that every now and again when you feel a little bit like a failure. I am awesome. Can we say that again? I am awesome. Okay. Just celebrate. Just see God celebrating you. Just see God dancing over you. Just see God saying, I'm so excited about you. And I can relate to that. I think about my 2.5-year-old. I'm thinking, he is awesome. And he didn't do anything. Huh? You can just breathe out. I am awesome. You are awesome. Your dad loves you. And keep your eye on Jesus. And you'll break out of temptation. Okay, so the second one is renew your mind. Third one, unburden your mind through prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6-7. This is the verse we want to get to. It says, be anxious for some things. Be anxious for the really serious big stuff. this goes so against our culture. This goes so against what we think is normal. Be anxious for nothing. You must be kidding me, God. You can't be nothing. I must be for something. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, and then with thanksgiving, there comes the thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is what should be happening every morning for you and me, or a time in the day. You come to God and you give to Him through prayer all your worries. God, worried about my child, Lord, I give it to you. God, I'm worried about the project, I give it to you. God, I'm worried about our sales, I give it to you. You just go and lay it all down on the altar. You give it to God. You surrender it to Him. I have on my Bible program, fancy Bible program, I can put in prayer requests, and I can say every 3 days, pop up again, or once a week, or whatever. So I'm just putting it all in there. Stuff that 6 months from now, I'm putting it in there. God, I'm trusting you for this. Every 2 weeks, it pops up again. God, I'm still trusting you for that thing. And so I'm holding it before God continuously. And then I find peace. Because my mind wants to worry about it, but then I've given it to God. I've prayed. I've surrendered it to the Lord. So go make a list. Write down all the things you're trusting God for. God, I'm trusting you for a husband, wife, car, peace, joy, whatever. Write it down and go back to it, and then write down the answer to that prayer as well. So unburden your mind every day. If you don't have a link-up time every day, you can't do this. You're going to be burdened. You're going to be battling. You're going to be struggling. So list of prayer requests. Another thing to do, good thing to do as well, as you're spending time with the Lord, have a sheet of paper next to your table or where you're sitting or your bed. And if you remember you have to do something later today, write it down and forget about it. Because often while we're busy spending time with God, you remember to buy bread. Now, I'm not supposed to pray about that. So you write it down, to do's, forget about it, and continue and focus on the Lord. Okay, so your first goal, as that scripture says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So go for that peace. Give those things over to the Lord. Find peace. And then the last thing we're going to end off with is, fix your mind on the promises of God. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Another translation says, fix your thoughts on these. Now think about that. What is our natural tendency? Do we focus on that which is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report? Do we? No, goodness no. We focus, there can be 20 good things. We'll focus on the one thing that's bugging us. Instead of focusing all the good, we focus on, say, in politics or government, we focus on Julius Malema. Instead of focusing on, they actually picked up my garbage today. Awesome. Thank you. Eh? Something to be thankful for. Something good. Lovely. What do you fix your thoughts on? For some of us, we really need to fix our minds. We need healing in our minds. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Because we have a tendency to focus on all the bad stuff. Even in our self-image, you might focus on the one part of whatever you don't like about your body or your personality, whatever, instead of celebrating all that is good and blessed and wonderful. So what do you fix your thoughts on? What do you fix your thoughts on? 2 Peter 1, verse 19. It says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. I've got bad news for some of us. Some of our minds are dark. There's darkness. How do you turn it around? The Word of God. The Word of God. You want to fix your mind? Get your mind on the Word of God. You want to have light on the inside of you? You want the morning star, which is Jesus Christ, to rise up on the inside of you? Get your mind and your heart on the Word of God. Get your heart and your mind on the Word of God. The Word of God is living and powerful. It is supernatural. It turns us on the inside. It brings light. It brings joy. It brings everything that needs to be there. So are you meditating upon the Word of God? This is the challenge I want to put out there. How do you practically do this? Read the Bible wherever you feel led to read. And as you're reading it, and if there is a scripture or a promise or something that sort of jumps up, it just sort of is highlighted. It really speaks to you. You take that scripture, you write it down in your notebook, you put it onto your BlackBerry or whatever, and you carry it with you, and you memorize that, you meditate upon that, you memorize it, and you say it back. I would say it is much better to have depth of knowledge than breadth. In other words, rather know one scripture well. In other words, walk with one scripture for the whole week, like the previous one, Philippians 4 verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You can see I can say that 100 times. Quick. I've been anxious a lot. One of my favorite ones. I've been walking a long time with that one. And now I'd say it. Be anxious for nothing. You just say, be anxious. Speak to your soul. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You have to say it. You have to get depth. Let it sink in. Speak it over and over. And we pray back to God. God, your word says, be anxious for nothing. I'm anxious. But your word says, be anxious for nothing. Lord, I'm anxious. Lord, I give it to you. I give it to you. Pray the scriptures back to God. Get depth. Don't just lie in your bed. Yeah. I'm all eight. Lekker aan die bed. Lay. Lekker. Get up. Focus. Set the time aside. Have your alarm clock ready. I encourage one of the guys in church to do this, and he said it really transformed his quiet times. I encouraged him, instead of in the morning reading lots of stuff, go the previous evening, read a few chapters, and then the scriptures that stand out, write that down. Next morning, you just focus on those one or two scriptures. You just meditate upon them, pray them to God, find peace. Let the peace of God come and guard your heart. And you're ready for the day. You can go out and overcome. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Get the word in your heart. John chapter 15:11. These things I've spoken to you, this is Jesus, that my joy may remain in you. And that your joy may be full. Jesus says, I've spoken these words to you. Why? So that you might have joy. Meditate on the Word of God. Sit at those times and go for it. This is life or death for a Christian. If you don't get this, nothing else is going to work. You need to connect. You need to abide. You need to get the scripture in your heart and in your mind. And the morning star shall rise. Let's pray. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray that we would be enabled, all of us, Lord, to be like little children. Lord, may we have a vian skip. Because you are good. And so, Lord, I pray for us that we would position ourselves in your presence. Lord, I pray for our connecting times, that we will have those times and that we would have boundaries, hedges, to protect our minds and our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would have Sabbaths, a day where we resign and we trust in God. And Lord, we pray that our minds would be fixed, renewed, healed, as we choose to have a good eye. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that enables us, even when we feel unable, insecure, don't know where to read, what to do, how to pray. Thank you, God, that we have your Holy Spirit that leads us. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to lead each of us into that place of having a quality link-up time, devotional, quiet time. Thank you, Lord, for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds. We worship you, God. And so, Lord, may our eyes lift unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lives and hearts and beings be filled with your light. In Jesus' name. I want to encourage you to make an appointment with God. My question to you, do you have an appointment with God every day? Do you have one? And are you keeping it? And as we're going to worship now, I want to put this challenge before you for this week. To have a link-up time every morning, to keep the appointment with God, and then to take one scripture this week, at least one, preferably say two, meditate upon it and memorize it. This is your homework. So next week, Sunday, I'm going to ask everybody to come forward and quote their memorized verse. I'm kidding, otherwise nobody will come next week, okay? So don't worry. But that's your homework, just for this week. And see God do something in you. Amen. Just want to encourage somebody or some of you here to go and put down boundaries, hedges for your work. Hedges. I feel that's a word for some of us here. Boundaries, hedges. And then for all of us dating, hedges. You needn't spend time with boyfriend or girlfriend every day. Space. Space is good. Space is of God. Okay. So, say no more. I just feel that some of us need to actually go sit down, make a list, and just get boundaries in our lives. Okay. Let's end off in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, you send your people with a blessing. Thank you for your presence that goes with us. And Lord, may our hearts turn to you more and more. May we love you, God, more and more. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen.